Hi, I'm Becky Sue Epstein. I write about wine and spirits and about food and travel. You can learn more about me on my website, BeckySueEpstein.com.
You're listening to iWine Radio. My name is Lynn Crelo Chamberlain, host of Wine and Dine.
Now we have the pleasure of talking to Becky Sue Epstein, who is our reporter in around the world. Just absolutely lucky woman. And she's talking to us from Sicily. And right now she's on the island of Pantelleria. And she was the one who was gracious enough to supply us with Antonio Raulo, winemaker for Tenuta di Donna Fugata. And I thank you so very much. And windy and sunny, and so everyone probably looks really well tanned, I would imagine.
Well, actually, I'm not on Pantelleria. I want to be on Pantelleria, but I am on the mainland, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
So they've had a really long winter here, and it's rained a ton, and they're finally getting some spring. But, of course, you know, it's not that cold, so there's flowers, and, you know, the grasses are coming up in between the rows of vines and things, but none of the vines are budding or anything.
Okay. Well, and so the rainy season, it almost sounds like California or something. It's winter time is the rainy season for them?
Yeah, it's very much like that. It seems very California-like. There's palm trees, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's the kind of place where when it gets warm, you can take off your coat and sit out in the sun and then wish that you lived here.
And how hot does it get in the summer? Is it excruciatingly warm, or is it because of the breeze, it never gets really obnoxious?
Oh, no, it can get pretty hot here, but it's dry, so it's not like the East Coast of the United States. And you do go to the beach. You know, there's actually, okay. We're, I think, 10 kilometers from the beach here.
Okay.
Nice southern beach, and you can feel the wind from it.
So what kind of yummy wines have you had today?
Well, I'm in a certain area. I'm in the Ragusa area, which is in the southeast, and there is the only DOCG in Sicily is here. And the wine, the DOCG, that's the highest level wine, is called Cerasuolo di Vittoria. Cerasuolo di Vittoria,
okay.
And it's DOCG. It became a DOCG only in 2005, which was after I was here last time. And it's a red wine, and it's made with two native grapes, Frappato and Nero d'Avola.
Oh, well, people will be familiar with Nero d'Avola.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Frappato is a kind of a slightly lighter wine. And the Cerasuolo di Vittoria is usually made with 60 Nero d'Avola and 40% Frappato. You can make it with 50-50.
Okay. And are these...
And so we've been tasting a lot of those.
And are they... Do people make them in many different styles from really light to heavier? And what do people do with oak influence?
Well, they do tend to not over oak here. They've actually learned that. And so they use a little bit of oak, not very much new French oak, you know, they use 1 or 2 years old. Some people are making it in amphoras, giant amphoras,
yeah,
sunk into the ground.
Yes.
That's the first place I went to.
Really, really. So if you were to stand inside of an amphora, is it taller than you are?
Well, it was sunk into the ground, but I've actually seen them before, and they make them in Spain, and they are taller than a person. You can't actually get in them. They can withstand, you know, if you go into a winery and you see them cleaning the tanks,
right.
Somebody actually has to go in them, and
yes.
They have to have an oxygen mask because of the gases. It's very dangerous. But these amphora are clay. They're clay, but they're like oven-grade clay, so you can heat them up to 500, 600, 800 degrees and, you know, put really hot water in and sterilize them to clean them out. So the fact that the top neck is narrow is okay because you can clean them with the sterilized waters.
So how do they...
Which is very interesting to me.
how do they get, like, anything that precipitates out, you know, sedimentation, how do they get that out? Or do they just kind of blast it out and force it out
the
top?
Yeah, they blast it out. They just blast it out. And wow. The reason they sink it into sand and gravel and stuff is to keep the temperature constant, because obviously it's a giant clay jar. So the only way they can keep it at a certain temperature is to surround it by that. And if they don't want to use electricity and put some sort of, rod inside or electrical or jacket on the outside, which would be kind of defeating the purpose of using clay, which breathes but is very neutral. So they put it in sand. And I've seen them in Spain where they actually lowered cooling rods into them during the fermentation, but they left them open to the air.
Becky, I would think that with just like if you were cooking something in the oven in clay, that there is a clay is porous, and so I would imagine that a good deal of water leaches into the ground. So does that, in effect, concentrate the alcohol, et cetera, et cetera?
As far as I know, no. There isn't that much exchange.
Okay.
Because I asked them, and they said they like some exchange, but I'm thinking, how much exchange can you have with clay that's in sand? Not a whole lot of air or water or anything is going to get in there. So I gather they look at it as pretty neutral. And it's kind of interesting to just go into this, what would be a tank room, and instead there's just these holes that are maybe a foot or more in diameter, covered with either stones or stainless steel tops or, whatever. And some places they had stainless steel, and they're held on by just regular clamps you'd see in a workshop.
Yeah.
And in other places they had them held down by, things that were held down by bricks. And I said, well, why don't you have more stainless steels with the clamps? They said, oh, we couldn't find any more. So we just held them down with bricks. It's like, okay. And this winery is biodynamic. It's called COS, C-O-S, and it stands for the three people that started the winery. And they also have a guest house there that anyone can stay in, and I think a pool opened in summer. That's part of this old villa that they bought. It was pretty neat.
Is COS owned by the same people as Antonio Raulo, or is it totally separate property?
Totally separate.
Do you see people using a lot of solar panels for generating electricity in wineries?
Yeah, COS showed us their photovoltaic panels. And also, there are a lot of people, if they're not going organic, biodynamic, they're going sustainable, they're going green.
Okay.
We were also at another winery that's Feudi di Arancio, and it's owned by a big conglomerate called Mesa Corona that is basically active up in Trentino Alto Adige.
Okay.
But they bought a giant estate in 2003 of a family that was going bankrupt. And they've got some of the vines are old and some of them are newer. And they have 7 man-made lakes on the property that they collect all the water. They're using, as much green, sustainable. They plant fava beans in between the rows because fixes the nitrogens. But then they mow them down before they go to seed because that takes out the nitrogens. I mean, people are really working on renovating and regenerating the land here.
And I remember from reading that the winemakers that you're dealing with, the families you're dealing with, are you seeing a lot of younger people, people in their 30s and 40s, rather than people in their 60s and 70s that are regenerating the wine industry in Sicily?
Well, I think that a lot of people the winery business started being regenerated in, say, in the 1980s. So the people that were in their 20s and 30s then are what in their 50s and 60s now.
Okay.
But they might have the next generation coming along behind them, working with them. So it's not all just the younger people.
It almost sounds like the explosion that was happening in the West Coast of the United States and in California is like kind of what's going on in Sicily, you say, in the 80s.
Yeah, and Priorat, I think, in Spain was happening around that same time, too. People were just saying, enough of this using up stuff, getting rid of mechanized. We need land, we need flavor, we need things for our senses, we need a connection with what we eat and what we drink, and I think this is an extension of that.
Okay, let me ask you, before we run out of time, food. And of course you're not getting fresh tomatoes this time of year, but I would still think...
Yes, we are, because everything is grown in greenhouses now.
Oh, wow.
When I was in Emilia-Romagna a few weeks ago, they had fresh tomatoes from Sicily.
Oh, wow!
So, yes, we have fresh cherry tomato pasta today, and the cherry tomatoes were as sweet as candy.
And is it? Is the bottom line the reason for that is because of the soil?
It has to be. I was thinking of, even when I bring seeds back, they just don't taste the same. But I can't really go in with a suitcase of tomato soil, can I?
No, but you could probably do some dried tomatoes.
Oh, yeah, there's an idea.
So you have not had dinner yet today, right?
Right.
So dinner's after our conversation. Do you have any idea what you're going to be expecting for dinner this evening?
Well, I can tell you some of what we had for lunch, and we did have a lot of grilled vegetables. We had artichokes. Wild asparagus and an omelet.
Oh wow!
And we, it was, and we had all sorts of pastries.
Oh my gosh, that's right up your alley, since you have such a sweet tooth.
Yes, and everyone seems to have a pastito wine for us to try.
Oh my gosh, are you doing a lot of walking?
Not quite enough.
Oh, Becky Sue Epstein, thank you so very much for taking us to Sicily with you today.
Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we'll have links up for you to learn more and connect with Becky Sue. I'm sure she'll be writing about this. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
Hi, my name is Robert Camuto, and I've just written a book that's recently released called Palmento, A Sicilian Wine Odyssey. It's more than a book about wine. It's a book about culture and people and the great terroir of Sicily. The title Palmento refers to an ancient system of presses that have existed for thousands of years and were believed to have their origins in Sicily. You can learn more online at my website, palmento.info.